This is the sixth day of this October 2008 seven-day session. And today we'll take up a koan. This one is from the Shoyoroku, the Book of Equanimity, a.k.a. the Book of Serenity. And number 35 there, it's called Lopu's Obeisance. Luopu went to Jiashan and without bowing stood facing him. Jiashan said, "A chicken in a phoenix nest, not the same class, go away." Luopu said, "I have come from far away after hearing about you. Please give me a chance." Jiashan said, "There is no you before my eyes, and there is no me here." Luopu shouted. Jiashan said, "Stop it. Don't be so hasty. Clouds and the moon are the same. Valleys and mountains are different from each other. It's not impossible to cut out the tongues of everyone on earth, but how can you make one who has no tongue speak?" Luopu said nothing. Jiashan hit him. With this, Luopu made obeisance and became Jiashan's student. We have some biographical material on both of these guys, but I'm going to read only the material on Jiashan, because last year we read material on Luopu, and that we will again when we do other koans in which he figures. We haven't done Jiashan yet. Name is Jiashan Shanwei, and his dates are 805 to 881. And I'm reading here from Andy Ferguson's Zen's Chinese Heritage. He was a disciple of these names get so complicated. So many different Chinese names. I'm going to try to simplify it. He was a disciple of the boat monk. That was how he was known, actually, this master. After taking the monk's vows when he was 20, Jiashan began by studying the sutras. It's a common entrance to a career as a Buddhist monk. He later met Zen master Dao Wu, who recommended that he go see the boat monk. Although Jiashan's understanding of Buddhism was already extensive, he did not attain complete awakening until his meeting with the boat monk in the famous incident at Hua Ting. And now we're going to read about that incident. Before we get to that encounter between this Jiashan and the boat monk, it begins with Jiashan's encounter with Dao Wu. Apparently, Jiashan had been teaching without authorization, and a monk at the talk that Jiashan was giving asked, "What is the Dharmakaya?" Jiashan said, the Dharmakaya is formless. That's a good answer, good classroom answer. He would have gotten that from his studying of sutras. The monk asked, what is the Dharma I? Jashan said, the Dharma I is without defect. When he heard this, Dao Wu laughed loudly. Jashan got down off the lecture platform and said to Dao Wu, something I said in my answer to that monk was not correct, and it caused you to laugh out loud. Please don't withhold your compassionate instruction about this. So we have someone here who's would seem to be, this Jashan is sincere. He wants to know why Dao Wu disapproved of his answer. Dao Wu said, you have gone into the world to teach, but have you not had a teacher? Jashan said, I've had none. May I ask you to clarify these matters? Dao Wu said, I can't speak of it. I invite you to go see the boat monk at Hua Ding. Jashan said, who's he? Dao Wu said, above him there's not a single roof tile. Below him there's no ground to plant a hoe. If you want to see him, you must change into your traveling clothes. Above him there's not a single roof tile, below him there's no ground to plant a hoe, is very high praise. It's like saying, there's nobody there. After the meeting was over, Jashan packed his bag and set out to see the boat monk. When the boat monk saw Jashan coming, he said, your reverence, in what temple do you reside? Oh, the boat monk got that name because he was a ferry boat operator. He himself, after his enlightenment, had been told to seclude himself in the world and just go about an ordinary job, and he chose this ferryman's job where he kept a low profile. So when he sees Jashan, he says, in what temple do you reside? Jashan said, I don't abide in a temple. Where I abide is not like... Now this is where more from his sutra study, where he thinks he's got the right answer, this of non-abiding. I don't abide in a temple. Where I abide is not like... The boat monk said, It's not like what? Jashan said, it's not like the Dharma that meets the eye. The boat monk said, where did you learn this teaching? Jashan said, not in a place which the ears or eyes can perceive. So he still has his, he's a good student of Buddhist doctrine. And he knows enough that he's on safe ground as long as he keeps on the side of negation, you know. Can't be this, it can't be that, it's not this, it's not that. The boat monk said, a single phrase and you fall into the path of principle. Then you're like a donkey tethered to a post for countless eons. And then the boat monk said to him, he went on to say, you've let down a 1,000-foot line. You're fishing very deep, but your hook is still shy by 3 inches. Why don't you say something? It's always a warning. You can hear the alarm. Boop, boop, boop. As Jashan was about to speak, the boat monk knocked him into the water with the oar. When Jashan clambered back into the boat monk yelled at him, speak, speak. Jashan tried to speak, but before he could do so, the boat monk struck him again. Suddenly, Jashan attained great enlightenment. He then nodded his head 3 times. Then the boat monk said, Now you're the one with the pole and line. Just act by your own nature and don't defile the clear waves. Jashan asked, what do you mean by throw off the line and cast down the pole. The boat monk said, the fishing line hangs in the green water, drifting without intention. The fishing line hangs in the green water, drifting without intention. It's a good description of the teacher in Doksan. Jashan said, there is no path whereby words may gain entry to the essence. The tongue speaks, but cannot speak it. So here he has a whole new perspective on things. The boat monk said, when the hook disappears into the river waves, then the golden fish is encountered. At that, Jashan covered his ears. The boat monk said, that's it, that's it. He then urged Jashan, saying, hereafter, conceal yourself in a place without any trace. If the place has any sign, don't stay there. I stayed with Yaoshan for 30 years, and what I learned there I've passed to you today. Now that you have it, stay away from crowded cities. Instead, plant your ho deep in the mountains. Find one person or one half a person who won't let it die. Jashan then bid the boat monk goodbye. As he walked away, he looked back at the boat monk. Suddenly, the boat monk yelled, your reverence. It was a standard way of addressing a monk. Your reverence. Jashan stopped and turned around. The boat monk held up the oar and said, do you say there's anything else? He then tipped over the boat and disappeared into the water, never to be seen again. And so back to our text where we're reading about this Jashan, where it says he did not attain complete awakening until his meeting with a boat monk in that famous incident. Thereafter, he was recognized as the boat monk's Dharma heir. Another little nugget here about Jashan was that he was the first Zen master known to closely link Zen with drinking tea. He described the intimacy between tea drinking and Zen as Zen, tea, one taste. Now, we'll pick up after the incident with the boat monk. Jashan honored his teacher's instructions. He abandoned the world and lived in seclusion in the mountains. But somehow, students were able to find him, and large numbers of them came to train with him, and their thatched huts were scattered. Which there's a bracket here. It says unorganized. These many of these passages in this book are translations from the real ancient records that are found in the old scrolls, and even in the engraved in monuments 1,000 years ago. And that's the phrase they must have used when it wasn't a big temple or monastery organized, where their thatched huts were scattered. From morning until night, they trained under the master. And then the assembly moved to Mount Ja, where they built a temple. So the Mount Ja is the word for Mount Ja is Jashan. And so like so many of these masters, this one took his name from the mountain. Just a couple other dialogues here. One day, now Jashan is an established master. Jashan entered the hall and addressed the monks, saying, "I've been living on this mountain for 20 years, and the whole time I've never spoken a word about the essential teaching of Zen." A monk asked, "Is the master saying that you've been here for 20 years and you've never spoken about the central matter of Zen?" Just pressing him a little, Jashan said, "Yes." One of the monks then overturned the teacher's tan, the meditation platform. Jashan stopped speaking and went out. The next day, all the monks were called to assemble. The master dug a hole and had his assistant call out the monk who had overturned the platform the day before. Addressing the monk, Jashan said, "For 20 years I've been speaking meaninglessly. So today I invite you to kill me and bury me in this hole. Do it. Do it. If you can't kill me, then kill yourself and bury yourself in this hole." The monk went to the monk's hall and packed his bag. He then quietly stole away. It was quite an eye-opener to me when I got to Japan and settled into the first temple where I spent some time training there, to see how many of the residents of the temple at that time were mentally disturbed. Not that many, but, you know, it doesn't take many to be noticed. There were two or three. And it seems that, at least at that temple, it was... which is a very highly regarded one, it was the teacher's practice to be very allowing about who he ordained. So, you know, these old records, who knows about this monk who overturned the platform? I mean, we can see that Jashan did not approve of it. So it wasn't some great Zen demonstration. And that he slunk away suggests that it was for his own safety that he had to leave. Just this last thing. In the year 881, Jashan called together his senior monks and said, "I've talked extensively for many years. As to the Buddha Dharma, each of you should know for yourself. Now I'm just an empty form. My time is up and I must go. Take care of the teaching as if I were still here. Don't be like people of the world and be grief-stricken after I'm gone. Now I'm just an empty form. My time is up and I must go." Must have been quite old and broken down. We get so little information about these men. We get the luscious, juicy dialogues, but we know nothing about their condition. They it's so hard to appreciate them as real flesh and blood human beings with flesh and blood that deteriorates, and we don't know about their health problems. We don't know about their back problems, their leg problems, any number of things. Why would they be free of the the scourge of impermanence and not have their bodies break down as time went on. So he recognized he needed a new body and that he would be dying soon. Don't be like people of the world, in other words, worldly people, ordinary people, and be grief-stricken after I'm gone. Upon saying these words, Jashan suddenly passed away. His remains were kept in a stupa built on the mountain. He received the posthumous name, Great Teacher Transmitting Clarity. And now back to the koan. Luopu, I'll just say this much, that he was quite a bit younger than Jashan, and went on to become a master in his own right. Usually, when they mention someone by name, it's because they became famous. Now, a little preamble here before we get to the lead up to this incident of the koan. Luopu was a student of Linchi, the fearsome Rinzai. One day he was taking leave of Linchi, and Linchi asked him, "Where are you going?" Luopu said, "South." Linchi drew a line with his staff and said, "If you can cross this, then go." Luopu immediately shouted. Linchi hit him. Luopu bowed and left. Now I'm reading from copy of the Blue Cliff, a copy of the Shoryuroku, with all the original commentaries by ancient masters. And one of them, says here, when Luopu left Linchi said, "In the school of Linchi, there's a red-tailed carp who wags his head, swishes his tail, and heads south." I think we can assume that he saw this Luopu, his student Luopu, as someone to be reckoned with. And then Luopu wandered around until finally he came to the summit of Mount Jashan, where he built a shack and lived there for a year. Then this Master Jashan, the one we've been talking about, Master Jashan found out and sent an attendant monk with a letter for Luopu. Luopu took the letter, then sat right down and extended his hands in a gesture of seeking. The monk was speechless. Luopu then hit him and said, "Go back and recount this to the master." The monk returned and told about this. Jashan said, "If this monk reads the letter, he will surely come within 3 days. If he doesn't read the letter, he can't be saved." 3 days later, Luopu came. And now, that's where we pick up the beginning of this koan. Luopu went to Jashan and without bowing stood facing him. Without bowing. There's our red-tailed carp swishing his tail. Stood facing him. You would never ordinarily do that. A student approaching a master, whether it's the first time or any other time, would begin by making three prostrations. In fact, that's the custom in Japan. When you go to Doksan, we just whittle it down to one prostration. So he goes there, without bowing, stood facing him. Jashan said, "A chicken in a phoenix nest. Not the same class. Go away." So, okay. We've got two big-horned rams clashing here. Lopu said, now listen, this is unusual. Lopu said, "I have come from far away after hearing about you. Please give me a chance." Very different attitude than that first standing before him without bowing. "Please give me a chance," or "please teach me." And so in response, Jashan said, there is no you before my eyes, and there is no me here. Okay, basic teaching of shunyata, emptiness. In my quarters is a scroll at Arnold Park. Is a scroll that is hanging right where it was hanging when Roshi Kaplow lived there. It's in calligraphy, and it says, "From the very beginning, there has never been a single thing." It's a fundamental experience of the Dharma. At that, Lopu shouted. It's one of the points of the koan, is to understand what was behind that shout of Lopu. And Jashan said, "Stop it. Don't be so hasty. Clouds and moon are the same. Valleys and mountains are different from each other. It's not impossible to cut out the tongues of everyone on earth, but how can you make one who has no tongue speak?" Lopu said nothing. Jashan hit him. And with this, Lopu made obeisance, made his bows, and became Jashan's student. So each step of the way here, it is the job of the student to show in Doksan what's behind these statements and actions. To do that, you have to have wormed yourself into the minds and the hearts of these two famous names and understand what's going on. In the back now to the full Shoryuroku itself, with the commentaries and sayings by these ancient masters. There's so many good comments here, and I want to go through the whole thing again with these brief comments. So first, the first line, Luopu went to Jashan and without bowing stood facing him. And this master comments, "When they don't dismount when meeting, it's because they each have their own way to go." And then Jashan said, "A chicken in a phoenix nest, not the same class. Go away." Then the commentary is, one hand pushes, one hand pulls. Do you understand? This apparent disrespectful dismissal of the younger Luopu. One hand pushes, one hand pulls. It's it's traditional in Japanese Zen when a monk wishes to enter a monastery that he had the door slammed in his face and be told, there's no room, go away. And then it's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. Then if the monk knocks a second time, he gets the same treatment. Go away. And then if he comes back a third time, then his persistence and his seriousness has now been shown and he's allowed in, usually. One hand pushes, one hand pulls. And then Lopu, I have come from far away after hearing about you. Please give me a chance. And the commentary for that line is, the probing pole is in his hands. And then Jashan's teaching. There is no you before my eyes, and there is no me here. And the commentary for that line is, the shadowing grass is on him. Lopu shouted. And this comment is, the commentary says, exhausting his strength, he cuts off his power. There's a clue to Lopu's shout. Exhausting his strength, he cuts off his power. And then Jashan says, stop it. Don't be so quick to be... Don't be so hasty. And then he gives him some more teaching. Clouds and the moon are the same. Valleys and mountains are different from each other. It's not impossible to cut out the tongues of everyone on earth. But how can you make one who has no tongue speak? And, for the first line, stop it, don't be so hasty. This old master says, those who understand aren't hurried. Those who are hurried don't understand. It's a good general a general statement that is usually true. Those who understand aren't hurried. Those who hurried don't understand. And then the clouds and moon are the same. Valleys and mountains are different. This old master says, in side alleys, on dark streets, the unfamiliar traveler gets lost. And then that first line, it's not impossible to cut out the tongues of everyone on earth. And the commentary is, he just sees the sharpness of the all. And then that last part, how can you make one who has no tongue speak? The commentary is, he doesn't see the squareness of the chisel. This is so rich, these commentaries, the use of concrete language, things, physical things, vivid language. He just sees the sharpness of the awl. He doesn't see the squareness of the chisel. He only sees the one end. And then Lopu said nothing. And the commentary for that is, confronting the long snake battle formation, some esoteric thing about military formations in 9th century China. Confronting the long snake battle formation, his bow and lance cracked to the ground. And then Jiashan hit him. Commentary, unexpectedly, Jiashan acts like Lin Chi. And then with this, Luo Pu made obeisance and became Jiashan's student. And the line of commentary is, artists get sick of having to perform. A lot of koans are not only about the Dharma as we think of the Dharma, as the, you know, principles or the truth. It's also included in them are the ways that two masters work when meeting each other, or a master and a monk, which itself is the Dharma. The Dharma is an abstraction. It isn't just something to get, something to be gotten, some truth to be gotten. It is these exchanges are the Dharma, the truth, in action. Back just to this one line where Jiashan says, clouds and the moon are the same. Are they? How so? And then valleys and mountains are different from each other. Are they? How so? These are not just random remarks that these masters just sort of emitted out of nowhere. These things have significance. Sometimes the significance would be tied to cultural references. It's one of the hurdles that Western students have that Chinese students don't, is not being aware of all of the idioms and folk tales and other cultural references that are to be found in these koans. But with this, I don't need to know anything about ancient China. We see quite a transformation in Luo Pu from the time he arrives, stalking up to Jiashan and foregoing his bows and facing him, between there and the end, where he makes his bows and asks to become his student. We also see quite a change in Jiashan from when he was, where we read about him lecturing before an assembly without having really directly experienced this Dharma that he was preaching, between then and now. In the repentance verse that we do in repentance ceremonies, there's this line, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas were in the past like us, and we will in the future become Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The masters were in the past like us, and we will in the future realize what they realized. Time is up now. We'll stop and recite the four vows.